Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
All right, the seasons are changing as well as the leaves, and guess what? It's the first Thursday in the month of October, and you guys know what that means. I'm not changing anything up. Each and every Thursday, get ready for an all-new episode of Listen In with KNN. So sit back, relax, and get ready for today's special episode. As always, I like to kick off my show with Kelsey's Do Good Athlete of the Week segment, and this week, I could not start it off with none other than the Houston Texans quarterback, Deshaun Watson. Now, this guy was already doing amazing things on the field as a rookie, but off the field, get this. Deshaun Watson gave his first game check, that's right, his first paycheck, ladies and gentlemen, in the NFL to Texans employees who lost everything during Hurricane Harvey. So I've been under the weather this week, but seeing this story has really brightened me up. I mean, Deshaun, wow. The Texas rookie quarterback donated his first Sunday paycheck to three women at NRG Stadium who cooked for the players in the team cafeteria, all who were hit hard by Hurricane Harvey. Now, I mean, he's giving back, but he's kind of had a history of it because he's received himself. And I always say, do unto others as you would want done unto you. Now, back in 2006, Ward Dunn gave Deshaun Watson's family a home. Just wow. And now he's giving his first check to hurricane victims. That just tells you how paying it forward pays off. I mean, not only was he a recipient of charity, he's giving charity back. Now, doing things like this, he basically gave his $29,000 game check away. Just incredible. So I want to give Kelsey's Do Good Athlete of the Week props to Mr. Deshaun Watson. Keep killing it on the field and off the field. Now, I want to get into today's show, because I have a very special guest. So this week, I am excited to welcome Mr. Richard Miles Sr. Now, if you don't know Richard Miles, especially in the D.C. area, I do not know where you have been. If you don't know about Miles, he is a graduate of Arizona State University, which I'll forgive for now, because you guys know how I am about my Maryland turf. I don't think there's any other college as great as Maryland. And he also is a D.C. area native. He went to Cardozo High School in the city. And then if that's not enough, he did play in the NFL for that team up in New England. That's right, the New England Patriots. And now he is the CEO, founder, and chairman of the Minor Football League. That's right, folks. There is a Minor Football League that exists that for some reason the NFL has not recognized. I'd like to welcome you, Miles, to the show. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Now, I think I gave you a pretty good introduction. But why don't you tell the folks a little bit more about yourself?
Oh, absolutely. As you stated, I'm a native Washingtonian, Arizona State graduate. You know, I'm a D.C., one of the D.C. finest to come out of Washington, D.C., a native Washingtonian. And, you know, just my way of just giving back to, you know, the game that I love so much, the sport that I love so much.
All right, so you have to tell me, what in the world made you choose Arizona State University over the Maryland Terrapins? I mean, you're right next door to Maryland and D.C. growing up. What happened?
Well, as you know, back in that time, the big schools would come to D.C., and Maryland wasn't that. Maryland wasn't a school that you would go to unless you were somebody that, you know, wasn't that good. Most of all the big schools came to Ohio State, and all of them came to Washington, D.C. to recruit the players, because at that time, Washington, D.C. had some great players, Kinnears Green, Lonnie Perrin, you know, players of that nature.
Wait. You're saying people didn't go to Maryland unless you weren't that good?
No. Maryland wasn't a powerhouse school at that time. And you're talking about the Pac-8 then. Those were the SC, the Southern College, you know. And you had USC, you had Arizona State, Arizona, you know, California. You know, those are the schools around the country that was really big in football programs at that time.
Yada, yada, yada. It's okay, Terp Nation. I'm going to get on them. It's okay. We know the greats went to Maryland, so we'll leave that alone. But now I want to get into – I mean, let's start the show. Tell me, I know you had that football experience, but tell me what enabled you to start the Minor Football League. And then I want to ask the question that I know everyone's asking right now. What separates this minor league? Because I'm going to be honest with you, Miles. When I go online, I've seen a lot of different minor leagues that are trying to start up. Everybody wants to be the cream of the crop to say they're the premier minor league for football. So what separates this MFL from the other one?
Well, first of all, you have to. I'm glad you asked that question. You have to educate people to say, what is minor league football? Because you might have went online, but most of the stuff you see says semi-pro. And as you know, me and you know, it's no such thing as semi-pro. If you're a pro, you're not. It was just an ignorant term people used to justify sandlot football. But minor league football was something that I know was a need for. You know, every league has a minor league system. Baseball, basketball has the D-League, minor league hockey. So the NFL never thought about a minor league system. So that's where I formed the first minor league team, which was the Washington Chiefs. And then I formed the league, which is the MFL, the Minor Football League. And this was to show people that you need a minor league system and how we differ from semi-pro, because we had insurance for the guys. We took it to travel expenses when they show guys had great jobs, they had degrees. At that time, we were not paying a salary at that time. But we made sure the guys had $100,000 worth of insurance on each player. We got them jobs in the area. So, therefore, that shows you the difference between minor league and semi-pro.
All right. So now that the people have that answer, tell me, I mean, you are an NFL player, right? And you're retired. Aren't you still supposed to be living a lavish life? Why take your time out and start the business of the Minor Football League? And what do you hope, I mean, what can players hope to expect from this league?
Well, as you know, it's not that you're not good enough to play in the NFL. It's not enough room. So where do these guys go? It's All-Americans don't get drafted. Where do these guys go? But the Minor Football League had 32 teams across the country. Now, as you say, the NFL do recognize the MFL. They know we exist. We had a meeting with the NFL 5 months ago. As you know,
you met the big boy, Roger Goodell, huh?
Oh, well, you know, they put out themselves, say it's time for a minor league system. The only problem with that is the MFL been around for 21 years. So they knew who he was. It was just a matter of us getting together. But I do give them respect because we did have a meeting with the NFL, and we showed them. And, you know, the NFL need a turnkey operation, and that's what the minor league is. We've been around for 21 years. We've been doing this for a long time. It gives guys a second chance at a profession that they love. You know, when you play football all your life and you get to college and you realize you can't play it no more, what happens to these guys? Now you're talking about economic development. You put teams in areas where there are no NFL teams. Think about that. Jobs. That's greatly needed. Coaches. And we want to take guys from the field to the front office. You have a lot of former NFL players. Right now, they left the league. What are they doing now? The NFL, how many black coaches in the NFL? Maybe four, maybe five. But that's just something that's been going on a long time. We're giving people an opportunity to own a franchise. You know, we as black people are the biggest consumers in America. We have nothing to show for it. We keep on talking about I feel for Colin Kaepernick because, hey, I'm a former NFL player, but you also have to understand you can't tell 32 of the richest men in the world who to hire or what to do. I mean, I commend what he's doing because that is a fight that we all got to understand, the mistreating black athletes and black people as a whole in this country. But, you know, you can't, it's a certain way that you go about everything. And, you know, boycotting the NFL, which I think is great. But also,
you know, you're going on and you're taking all the questions away. You're going on before
I'm
even
sorry.
Ask the questions.
I didn't mean
but
to do
I
that.
Love that you're so excited about it. And I think
I'm very
great.
passionate about it.
Well, I think it's wonderful. I hope people definitely look into it. As you say, you have something that is going to help communities. And then you have another alternative, because we see in other sports that have minor leagues, these guys have more time to develop. Because a lot of times in the NFL, we see guys that are not ready, but then we see guys who are like, oh, if they had a little bit more time and training, they probably would be good. And right now in the U.S., I mean, it's really like it's, you kind of have to go, what, to Canada or somewhere else to get that training, since there is no minor league system that the NFL officially has. But you're saying you have that answer. These guys don't need to go overseas, right?
Absolutely. And then you have to understand, too, Ms. Nelson, that Canadian football rules are different than the NFL rules. So, and even there, they only allow so many Americans up there. So you're still between a rock and a hard place. The NFL is the answer.
All right. You said the NFL is the answer. Now I want to move on to my doing it big in the DMV segment. Now, I think Maryland football is the answer. I want to ask you, after Maryland defeated Minnesota this past weekend, get this, Mr. Miles, the Maryland football team is off to a 3-1 start under a second-year head coach in DJ Durkin. And guess what this means? The Terps are just 3 wins away from, guess what, bowl eligibility. You tell me, because I know you've been watching some Maryland football. What is Maryland doing right?
Well, I mean, I have to give my hats off to Maryland, because they have done a great job this year, especially with the coaching staff. I think that they got some of the top recruits out of their area, and that's been something that they're missing from Maryland. You can't let the talent get away to Penn State, Howard State, and schools like this. You have to keep these kids at home. And if they can keep the kids at home like they did this year, then Maryland will be a program to be recorded in the future. So I think that they will really be – they're really coming on, and I think they're going to be a great program in the years to come.
All right, well, get this, because everyone was starting to doubt my Terps. But let me tell you, after we beat Texas, I knew the impossible was possible. Maryland, we remember the first game. We lost the first starting quarterback, right? We lost Tyrell. We call him Piggy. Then we lost Kasim Hill. We lost the guys from this area that were going to lead the Terps. So right now the Terps have the third stringer in that beat Minnesota. And get this, before Saturday's 31-24 win, Minnesota was unbeaten. So I think it's time to put some respect on Maryland football's name. That's right, folks. Kelsey Nelson is saying Maryland is not just a basketball school anymore. We deserve respect in football. Now, Miles, I'm going to play a little quick game with you. You're going to tell me yes or no. I want to tell you the road games that Maryland has up, and you tell me, can the Terps win them, all right? You ready to play?
Yes.
All right, Ohio State, on the road. Can Maryland win?
It's possible. If Maryland plays like
what?
They can
it's possible.
Play.
I just said yes or no. See, people are going to give some difficult answers.
No.
So you just think it's possible.
I think the Spirits are getting Maryland down the end. I think it'll be a really tight, close game, but I think the Spirits will get Maryland at the end.
Okay. Wisconsin.
Home or away?
It's all these are road games, so away.
No.
All right. Michigan State Spartans.
Yes.
Okay, and now we're going to go to the home matchup, Northwestern.
Yes.
Indiana.
Yes.
Michigan.
Yes.
Ah, we have to make sure that gets to Coach Jim Harbaugh's ears. And last but not least, I think the big rivalry, Penn State.
I really feel that I think Maryland can get them, only because they're playing at Maryland. So, yeah.
I love the turf spirit. I'm going to have Marilyn send you some turf gear. I mean, you're a believer. That's what the turfs mean right now. And last but not least, I forgot, there will be a neutral site showdown against Rutgers at Yankee Stadium. Can Marilyn beat Rutgers?
Yes.
Yeah, I think Rutgers is probably one of the easier ones out of all the ones that I said. No offense to anyone from Rutgers. All right, I want to stay in the DMV, and you're from the DMV, so this should also be nothing new. So you don't want to talk about Georgetown basketball. Can Georgetown basketball under Coach Pat Ewing, Miles, can it get back to greatness like it once was?
Yes, but it's going to. But you have to give them some time. It's not going to happen overnight.
I agree. I think people are rushing to the gun and trying to make Georgetown basketball into like Villanova, UNC, Duke programs. It takes time, right? Nothing great was built
Absolutely.
Overnight.
Right.
It takes time. So I'm telling Hoya fans, Hoya Saxa, calm down and let the man work his magic. He just got here. I think he's already doing some great stuff. And let's remember, the Hoyas were 14-18 last season, and they lost two of their top scorers. Okay?
And
also, Pat Ewing kind of has his hands full. But
absolutely.
I want to talk with you about something, Miles. I think they have a pretty good non-conference portion of their schedule this season. And
okay.
The reason I say that is because out of 351 Division I teams, Georgetown will play 7 that are ranked 320 or worse. So basically, Georgetown's not playing too many top tier teams. So do
and
you
that's
think
good.
This gives right? So do you think this gives Pat Ewing? I mean, will he kind of have an easier stretch? Will fans not be so hard on him as Coach Thompson? Or do you think Hoya fans are ready to start winning this season and being on the winning side of the ball?
Well, I'll say this. If they can keep the kids at home, which I think being Patrick Ewing, you know, congratulations to him for getting the job. I think if they keep the kids at home and be in the schedule that they had, it'll give them a chance to understand and buy into the system until not the Patrick Ewing thing, but into the system that he's bringing in, then I think this will be the Horton would surprise a lot of people, given the schedule that they have. So that'll help him in the long run.
I like it. So you're a complete DMV person. You got faith in Georgetown. You got faith in Maryland. I mean, you are just Mr. Complete DMV. I think it's good, though. And like you said, I mean, I think if they can keep those good players, because I've been telling people for a long time, the DMV breathes basketball, football players. And I mean, I think other sports, too, because as we know, Maryland is home of lacrosse. So there's a lot of different sports where a lot of good players come from this area. So if we can keep them at home and not have to have people like Markel Fultz go all the way to Washington, right, across country, then I think the teams here will be in good hands. Now I want to go to the top headline making news nationally. So I'm going to talk to you about Mr. LeVar Ball, Mr. Miles. So you know about LeVar Ball, right?
Absolutely.
I feel like to say he's the big head of the Big Baller brand. He's the dad. Well, he made news this week because he's pulling his youngest LaMelo Ball from Chino Hills High School, and he said he's going to homeschool him the next 2 years. He says, I'm going to make him the best basketball player ever. Now, they said he pulled the son after conflict with the coach in the school. Was this the right move?
Bad move.
You don't think
bad
it was
move.
The right move? I mean, was it right to pull
no.
him out?
Wrong move. Why I say that is you need that. You don't need, but first of all, you're a student athlete. You're a student first, athlete second. He needs that camaraderie with other kids. He can't just, and I think his dad means well, but he can't have basketball on his mind 24 hours a day. I mean, that's a no-no. So let the kid, give him an opportunity to be a kid and not try to rush him into being a superstar. If that's going to happen, it'll happen. But let it play out. Give the kid an opportunity to stay a kid as long as you can stay a kid and not rush him and put all that peer pressure on him.
Now, I know you said student-athlete, but, you know, I'm going to play devil's advocate because I need to. And, right, this is my show, so I can be a devil if I want to. And I want to ask you, for people who are homeschooled out there, I mean, they're going to say that that's a good quality education. So he could still be a student athlete, right, being homeschooled. Are you saying he's not going to get the same type of education?
Well, of course you wouldn't get the same type of education if you have somebody, if you you're at home, because now you're not going to have that supervision that you would have in school, and you'll get a chance to duck a lot of things and say, okay, I not feel like studying right now. Let me go shoot basketball or just work on that. That's why I say that that's not a good idea.
All right, And then I want to get to something I saw that I thought was outrageous. So USA Today, Nancy Armour wrote, it's official, LeVar Ball is the worst parent ever. Miles, was that warranted? I didn't think so.
No, I don't think that was warranted, because people want to explore his son, and he's not going to let him do that. And a lot of people say, well, it's his dad. His dad has his son's best interest in heart. You know, why let someone else exploit your kid? You need to hammer that business yourself, and I commend him for that.
And I feel like he gets a lot of slack, but I think it's just because he's put in the spotlight. I think he's a great dad, and I think we know he loves his kids. Now, he might be a little bit more outspoken, but nothing's wrong with that. We all know a loud mouth, right, in different types of families. But at the end of the day, he's been successful. He has a big baller brand. He's been doing stuff that parents wish they could do for their kids. I mean, look at this. He's already selling shoes. The youngest has a pair of shoes out. He has a son playing for the Lakers. He said his son would play for the Lakers. And so, 64% of GMs, I found this interesting, said they believe already that Lonzo will be the rookie of the year this year. I mean, he's doing some great stuff. So I think we have to look at through the lens that just because people don't parent like you does not mean that they're a bad parent.
No, well, remember now, Ms. Nelson, you have to look at Serena, her dad and the Serena sisters, their dad handled their career all the way until he wasn't able to. But he had a big, I mean, he coached his own daughters when everybody thought they weren't going to be anything. So look at them now. So it's like a double-edged sword. But like I say, I commend him, and he's doing what's best for his son and his family. So you can't be mad at that.
All right. Well, I'm glad you support him. Did you happen to cop a pair of those big baller brand shoes for, like, what are they, $500 or whatever they are?
Well, I think that's a little bit extreme, but I think if you go ahead and put a price on it, you know, you're not Nike, so don't even do that. I think he can put a replica shoe out there for $100, and people are buying first show, you know, let his son get out there and play in the NBA, and then people see his wear and how talented he is, and then the shoes will sell itself. $500 is a bit, you know, extreme to me, but hey, what do I know? That's what he want to do, so, you know, I'm with him.
So, I mean, I hope, are you selling MFL gear for that expensive of a price, or is it more for the everyday person to afford?
Well, I think, you know, it depends on the shoe. You make two different types of shoes. I guess he's going to make the casual one, and if he make them stretched for basketball, then that's another thing. But you know, we as black people have to stop being so apologetic for being smart. So if that's what he want to do, then let him do that, and let's don't prejudge him. But how he feel that, you know, I can identify with it, because when I started the minor football league, a lot of people, you know, hey, you know, is this like semi-pro? No, it isn't. And now, 21 years later, I mean, look at this now. So this is something that needed, that's greatly needed, and is a great commodity. It's a great, you know, league, and you'll hear more and more about it as the year go on.
All right, well, we will look forward to it. And also, what sports fans are looking forward to, I want to go to NBA big moves that were being made. And I want to talk about someone named Michael Beasley, who, if you don't know, he is now the New York Knicks forward. Miles, you know he's a DMV native, right?
Okay.
You already telling me how he is. Well, you said he's okay. And a lot of people, that's what they probably think. I mean, he's had some, he was a great player in college, even though it was short-lived. And some people actually said he was one of the greatest ever to play college basketball. Now, of course, it depends who you're asking. But he made the headlines recently because of this quote. He said, as far as talent-wise, I match up with Kevin Durant, LeBron. I match up with the best guys in the world. Now, you said he's okay. So are you telling me that this quote he said was far-fetched, Mr. Miles?
Well, absolutely. But if you don't believe in yourself, you know, who will? But as far as him matching up with them, that's a bit extreme. But he has to believe in himself. And, you know, we have to see. But if you ask me, in my opinion, no.
And that's what a lot of people are saying. You know, I'm rooting for Beasley. Anybody from this area, everybody that knows me knows I root for. I hope he finds success. I think New York needs someone to root behind and cheer for because I'd like to see the Knicks get back to glory days, as I'm sure you would. I don't know if Mike Beasley's the person, but as you said, I think if you don't believe in yourself, who else will? And I think you should always say, shoot, every day I wake up, I say I'm the greatest, right? I like to think I'm the MJ of everything that I do. So I'm glad that he's confident in himself, but when you say something like that, I think you better bring it on the basketball court each and every night you step onto the court. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Because that's a big statement to say. I mean, it goes back to the old saying, actions speak louder than words. I think, you know, you can go on and on and on about that, but he's still young. I mean, he's almost about to, well, he's 28, right? And I just still can't believe him. People forget, like, I mean, he was drafted high up. Like, this is a good player. He's had his fair share of run-ins with the law and things like that. But I'm rooting for you, Mike Beasley. I think the DMV is rooting for you. I just hope he focuses on basketball. And like I said, I want New York to be great. And hopefully, I'm sure I'll have you back on the show because you've been on this show, Miles. Hopefully, if we talk about him again, you'll say he's great. I want him to keep improving. Now, Miles, you used to play football, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to go to my NFL Minute segment, and I want to talk about some big NFL surprises. Now, I want to talk about the New York Jets. Before this season, I'm sure you were one of those people, Miles. Everybody thought the Jets would be the worst team in the league. Some people even said they would be worse than those boys in Cleveland. That's right. People said they'd be worse than the Cleveland Browns. What is going right for the New York Jets, Mr. Miles?
Well, I think they believe in Todd Bowles, Coach Todd Bowles. I think this is the second, third year, and they believe in the system. They understand the system. He got some of the people in there that believe in him and understand, and they bind into the system. And you know, the guys believe in what they're doing. And right now it's a young season, and, you know, they off. Yeah, you know, they running in the right direction. You know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So I think they're doing pretty well so far.
I mean, they're doing good. People are talking about how they have a better record than, yes, those New York Giants. People are saying, you know, people had big expectations for the Giants. You have Odell Beckham Jr., right? Supposed to be good. Everything's supposed to be good. But the Jets are doing it with, you know, people that a lot of people probably don't know. I want to say some of their new faces have made some big impacts. We have David Bass, Terrence Brooks, and then, of course, Coney Early. I mean, there's just a lot of people making some good noise. And then I think Josh McCown has had some good targets to hit with Jermaine Kearse and Jeremy Curley. Stuff is going right. And this is something I want to say Jets fans be so happy for. Miles, did you know that the Jets during free agent season, they had some interest in Chicago Bears' current quarterback, Mike Glennon. And you've seen how Mike Glennon has done this season.
Yeah, well, like I was saying earlier, that he has some people that believe and buy into the system. And he has people. Once you have people that buy and believe in your system, then you will do well. Now, as far as that other team in New York, you know, they really, you know, they really have their problem. They have some inner problems, you know, internal problems with that organization. And it won't stop now. I think it'll go on through the rest of the season as far as the New York Giants.
Jimmy, what do you think the New York Jets record will be at the end of the season?
I think they are sneaking the playoffs. I really do.
Jets fans, I think you're probably going to check your social media because I'm sure you're going to be gaining some New York Jets fans after that comment. And you know what? Now I want to stay on football. So you played safety in the league, and I want to talk to you about the NFL London games. Now, as we know, NFL has been playing more games overseas, right? For the current last
right.
Sundays, we've seen early games in London. Now, it's been 10 years since the NFL played its first regular season game in London, but this season, the NFL has been doing a lot more. Of course, we had Sunday's matchup between the Miami Dolphins and the New Orleans Saints. And then before that, we had the Ravens and the Jaguars. So basically, we see the NFL is continuing to try to leave a presence in England. So people are wondering, will the NFL permanently bring a team across the pond? Well, Kelsey did a research for today's show, and the NFL's executive vice president for international, Mark Waller believes London is ready for an NFL franchise now, okay? And they said the league may try to put a team there as early as the 2022 season, according to Albert Breer. I mean, do you think this is the right move for the NFL to put a team in London, Miles?
It would be death for the NFL. For one reason, you look at logistics, and it's too far to put a franchise there. The teams would have to travel. You have all these teams traveling there. They have to travel. And remember, soccer is their football over there. They'll never replace soccer. I can see them doing a few games here now and then, but trying to make that move would be a death sentence for the NFL, just like NFL Europe. That's not what over in, with England and them love. They love soccer, and that's their game over there. So trying to force that on them, you might have a few fans here and there, but to actually put a franchise over there would be the worst thing the NFL could do.
Wow. So you said one of the big concerns people have. You said it might be the worst thing. Well, that's what some people are saying. They're saying if they do that, right, then think about this. They said the London team would presumably have to go back to the United States for 8 games a year, right, 8 games a year, while its divisional opponents would have to go overseas once a year. Okay, but some people on the positive side are saying, look at this, 4 games in London this season, 2 at Wembley Stadium and the 2 at Twickenham Stadium sold out this season. 300,000 fans, okay, that's about 40,000 people bought tickets to all 4 games. So on the other side, they're saying, okay, it's doing well. We sold out the London game. So I don't know. There's teams on both sides. I don't like waking up early. I have to be honest with you, Miles. 8:30 and 9:30 on a Sunday, that's when you're supposed to be resting, preparing for the tailgates or something, right? But we're watching
right.
football, so I don't know how it's going to do in London, but it'll be interesting to see if a team is over there by 2022.
It'll be, like I say, it would be a death sentence for the NFL to try to make that work. If you don't learn by history, history will repeat itself. All you got to do is look at NFL Europe and what happened. That's not what those people like. They're not, you know, the soccer is their sport. Soccer.
I figured that.
American
you're saying
football.
Just let them keep the soccer ball. Don't give them
right.
the football,
I mean,
huh?
Yeah, right. You can't. It'll never work.
Ooh,
even entertaining
okay.
that would be a disaster.
So you're not going to buy a ticket and go watch those New England Patriots overseas one day?
No, I'm strictly about MFL now. That's
oh,
my
okay.
that's
not
my
worrying
that's
about
my
the
franchise,
NFL.
And that's what I'm all about MFL.
All right. Well, I hope you're going to be a little bit with the NBA with me because I'm switching to my Balling Out with Kel segment. And I want to talk about some of the new changes announced for NBA All-Star 2018. Did you hear about this news? So, I mean, Miles, did you know the NBA All-Star game next year will be played in Los Angeles?
Well, where else would they play it, really?
You're just saying Los Angeles was a given, huh?
Absolutely.
I mean, it is a great city for a lot of stuff. Well, I want to say this. Under the revamped format, two captains will draft the 2018 All-Star teams from the pool of players voted as starters and reserve, making selections without regard for conference affiliation. The captains will be the All-Star starters from each conference who receive the most fan votes in this conference. So basically, what all that blubbery that I was just saying was, they're going to pick their own teams now. The captains will pick their teams, and they won't care about the conference. Do you like this change?
No.
You don't? So you want to go, just keep it east and west. Keep it like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
And that's the same mistake the NFL is doing when they let them pick players. And you have guys in the same team, some playing on one side and some playing on the other side. They should leave it to AFC against the NFC. And when you start doing stuff like that, it really look like you don't know what you're doing and you're trying something different to see if this will work and see if the fans will go along with it. I think it's the worst thing they could ever do.
Another worst for you. First, the NFL gets the worst, and the NBA is making the worst. Y'all are making Miles not the happiest person right now. But I will say a positive, I'm still debating on if I like that change. I really am. And I tweeted that out earlier. But something I do like, I will say, is that another new feature is that the 2018 All-Star teams will play for charity. Each team will select a Los Angeles area charity or national organization where donations will be used to support local efforts. So I think that is great because anytime you're playing
Absolutely.
For charity,
kudos to that.
Yes, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And for people still kind of confused or scratching their heads or whatever y'all are doing, you know, when you're thinking, the process for selecting the 24 All-Stars will remain the same with 12 players from each conference earning spots, okay? So the 10 starters, 2 guards, and 3 front court players per conference will continue to be chosen by a combination of fans, which, of course, is 50% of the vote, current players, 25% of the vote, and basketball media, people like me, 25% of the vote, okay? The NBA head coaches will still select the 14 reserves, voting for 2 guards, 3 front court players, and 2 players at any position in their respective conferences, okay? So that's the stuff kind of staying the same because I don't want people getting – Too confused. So I'm looking forward to it. I think the All-Star is always fun. I like Giannis Antetokounmpo last year. I think he was balling out. I think it's a great time for us to see, of course, that the vets still got it. And then, of course, I love seeing the young players come up. And I've been telling people the Greek Freak is the future of the league. So I think it'll be great continuing to see this. I want to see how this stuff goes with picking a team, though. Because we know Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook better not be on the same team. Unless people think, you know, they stop their beef.
That's the problem with letting Captain pick the players.
Ah, so that's what you're saying. That's a perfect example. Well, we'll see. I hope one day we can all just get along. Might be a long time from now, but we shall see. All right, well, now I want to switch it to Kelsey's Are You Serious Right Now segment. And for another week, I'm going to discuss the national anthem, and that's because it's still a big deal. It's still the first thing that we're watching when we see a game. We wait for the anthem to play, then we look on the sidelines at the players. I don't think I've ever seen cameras scan the sidelines so much during the national anthem until now. So, of course, this protest was started by former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick, and this is something that I wanted to bring up this week that I thought really stood out. So last week, about 180 NFL players did not stand for the national anthem, okay? Keep the number 180 in your head, Miles, okay?
Okay.
Guess what the number was this week? Take a guess.
Less.
How many?
Less than 180.
This week, it was 54. Less than half.
That's a shame.
So, before I get to the question for you, this has really taken off beyond the football field. If you did not know, Representative Sheila Jackson Lee kneeled on the House floor in solidarity with NFL players. So this also went political. She said, "I kneel in honor of the First Amendment." So again, this is something that transcends just sports. It combines politics, culture, everything. And that's why I'm talking about it on this show, because I think we all need to have a real conversation, and if you don't want to talk about race, we're going to talk about race year, because I think it needs to be addressed in order for us to solve the problems that this country has. So I want to ask you now, Miles, why do you think more NFL players are choosing not to participate in this protest that a week ago it seemed like most teams were kind of rallying behind?
Well, a lot of them is afraid for their jobs, and I speak on the black players. The white players, some of them do, but most of them don't care, believe it or not, and people can think they are. But for the black players, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And it's a shame that all the black players do not take a stand. But like I stated, I know the reason why. A lot of them are afraid for their jobs. And some of these guys got families. I understand that. But if you're going to be a man, be a man. Take a stand. One way or other, either you're going to support it or you're not. But really be vocal about it and not make people think. You know you're not going to support it. Just say it. If you are, take a knee.
Wow. So tell me this. With the NFL, is there a policy that you guys have set out for players protesting this? Are you even seeing this protest, first of all, in the Minor Football League?
Well, right now, we don't have any of that, as me being an African-American owner of the league. I don't think we would have any problems like that, but we did the First Amendment thing. You have the freedom of speech, assembly, and everything. Absolutely. We will not tell anybody not to protest anything that they're not comfortable about, especially when it has to do with race. So, no, there wouldn't be a problem with that at all.
All right. And I asked this to my guest last week, and I want to hear from you, too, since you used to play in the league. If you were a current player right now in the league, do you think that you would be kneeling, or would you be locking arms with your teammates, or would you just not participate at all?
I would be kneeling. I wouldn't lock arms. Lock arms is not showing anything. Lock arms is saying that you're not participating. I would take a knee.
All right, and I want to ask you this. We see all this happening. Has it done enough to get people talking about why Colin Kaepernick said he first started doing this in the first place, and that's to discuss racial injustices happening in this country and ending it? Is it doing enough to bring attention to that?
But I think that's the issue, Ms. Nelson. A lot of people are forgetting the real reason that he did it. Everybody making up all this other stuff, he did it for the injustice of black people in America and how they're being treated. That is the issue. All this other stuff that they're coming up with doesn't make any sense, a whole creed of water. He's just protesting, and I commend the brother because he's not saying anything. And why should he? You hear a lot of people say he need to give a press conference. Why? Why? He's doing what he believed in, so why should he have to say anything?
All right, and let me be blunt then. Is Colin Kaepernick not playing in the NFL right now because of his talent or because of his stance?
Well, you and I know the question, the answer to that. Ms. Nelson, you know it's straight blackballing. You got all these quarterbacks and they ain't got no business playing. But if I could say something to Colin Kaepernick, you know, come play in the NFL. You have the opportunity to own your own franchise, and you have the opportunity to play at a sport. You're young enough to still play, and the reason that they're doing that to him because they want to make an example out of him. But I want to just also state this. All these other black players in the league better understand that they're doing that to him, they're going to do it to you sooner or later. That's when they're going to feel like, everybody come run to my aid. This man is doing something, and you're not running to his aid. And he's really not asking you to. So, it's just kudos to him.
All right. So you heard it here first. The Minor Football League is offering Colin Kaepernick a chance to play, which I think is pretty big news, because if you've been following sports news, which I'm sure you guys have all this week, because, of course, listening with Kaden caters to sports fans, Colin Kaepernick was also offered a chance to play by a Canadian team this week. So we're saying everybody off for him but the NFL, and that's where he said he wanted to play. But I want to bring up something important. And I bring this up with you, and I forgot to bring it up last week with my guest. Colin Kaepernick has said if he plays this year that he would end kneeling for the anthem. Does that take away any of what he was trying to do at all to you?
I don't know if that was a statement he made or someone else said. So I don't give too much credence to something when it comes from a third party.
See, according to his agent, that's what Colin Kaepernick said. Because his agent was working hard trying to get him on an NFL team.
Well,
and that's one of the things I think that's important to think about. Because I like to bring up everything. I think when we're looking at something, we need to know every piece of information involved, because I think that's how we can make informed decisions.
Right.
So it'll be interesting. So tell me, do you think this anthem protest, do you think it will continue until, let's say the Super Bowl? Will we see this anthem protest until the Super Bowl?
Possible. It would, if they don't
realize. We're already seeing less players kneeling now.
Yeah, well, I think that you have some players that, like I say, are afraid to take that stand. And getting back to your question with whether Colin Kaepernick would kneel if he got a position, I think that would really, if that's true, I think that would really diminish everything he did thus far to just change it up just to get a job. No, I don't think so. And if he did that, I would be very, very disappointed in him.
Wow. Wow. I mean, this anthem protest, oh, that's hard to put it in my Are You Serious Right Now segment, and I feel like it's going to be something to continue to talk about. I don't mind talking about it because I think it needs to be talked about. But I think we need to hear out the players. I see so many people so mad. Like, honestly, what comes to mind is just the loud boo that players have gotten. I mean, I think about the last Lakers game. Those fans were mad when the players kneeled, even if they're together. And I think we have to remember that this issue goes, it's not about the flag. I think what the players are trying to say is that this country has a problem with racism. And they're trying to bring attention to that. And I don't know why people say stick to sports, because sports has always been more than just sports. It's
Absolutely.
Always been more than just sports. Look in your history book. And if you don't learn history book, talk to somebody who knows about history. Because sport has always been a catalyst for change. And if you look at sports, it brings everybody together. Political backgrounds, religions, races, sex, creed, everything. Sexuality, it comes together in sports. Sports has always been a combination of that stuff. So I think people need to remember that. All right, well, I don't want to end my show on a somber note, because that doesn't match who I am and what this show is about. So I want to move on to my Woman Crush Everyday segment. And for this segment, I'm honoring Miss Kara Lawson. If you don't know Kara, guess what? She just landed a job as the Wizards' primary television game analyst, replacing, guess who? The beloved Phil Chenier, who will have his jersey hanging up in the Raptors this season in the now Capital One Center. I thought this was a great hire. She'll be working with, formerly it was called CSN, Comcast SportsNet, which has now rebranded itself as NBC Sports Washington. I think she's gotten a lot of love for it. So now she will be paired with longtime play-by-play man Steve Buckhams and the broadcast team's first major change in 20 years. Now, if you don't know about Kara Lawson, she was All-American at Tennessee, an Olympic gold medalist, a WNBA champion. That's right, she has a championship, an ESPN star, and guess what? She's from right here in the DMV. She's from Alexandria. She grew up watching the Washington Bullets. Now, her hire makes history as she'll become just the second full-time color television analyst in the franchise's history and one of the youngest game broadcasters in the market. She'll also become one of the first female primary analysts for an NBA team, joining Sarah, who got the Brooklyn Nets job earlier this month. Now, I will note that other NBA teams do employ female analysts as part of a three-person booth, but, of course, she'll be a two-person booth. She's 36 years old. I mean, tell me, how do you feel about her hire? Was it the right move?
Well, you said something earlier, and it's something you can't change, and that's change. You can't stop change. That's going to happen, and I think it was a good move. But you know, it's a lot of other people that, you know, waiting for opportunities. You know, I'm quite sure I see you as being one of upcoming bright young journalist, sports journalist in the DMV area. So
thank you.
A good move. So it opens it up. Everybody have to blaze a trail for everybody, and I think it was a good move, and I just think that the next person will be you. I mean,
at
all this stuff, you're one of the top, you know, young journalists coming up in the area, and you really know yourself, know your stuff. It's not, you're just not a pretty face. You're from reputable schools, and you do a great job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, Kara is paving the way. I've met her before. I think she's a great hire. She had a 13-year playing career, finishing it with the Washington Mystics, and I think she's great at TV if you watch her. So, again, I think she's another woman helping to put a crack in that glass ceiling, and hopefully one day it's completely broken. Well, I want to note this, though, too. She auditioned with people like former Wizard Caron Butler, Drew Gooden, Antonio Daniels. So she beat out some really good candidates. So I think that speaks to just how good she is. But I want to thank you so much for joining me on this edition of Listening with K&N. And to everyone listening, that's a wrap for this edition of Listening with K&N Sports Talk Podcast. I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every Thursday morning when a new show drops online at FoxSports1340AM.com. And if that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support really matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world. Smile. And please don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio.